podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. Super excited. Before we jump in, we'd like to give a big shout out to our sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market, bar none. They are sturdy. They will not break down. They don't prop break down. Mention Coach Unplugged. They'll give you $350 off. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. It's the one-stop shop for basketball coaches. Right now, we've got a quarterly membership going on, which I think is awesome. I think it rocks. We've got everything you need inside of our roadmap. You know, the teachhoops did a roadmap because you're always in one of four seasons, right? You're either in preseason, or you're either in postseason. You're either in the season or you're in the off season. One of those four seasons you're always in. And we set up a roadmap and a checklist to make it easier for you. So come over, join us at teachhoops.com. Let's head off to the podcast.
I have a great interview with Ray today from Positive Coaching Alliance. It's great. I think it puts everything in perspective as far as coaching goes. He's a former high school coach, has a huge career coaching, and now he's trying to make a difference.
So I'm never sure how to start this. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon for all the podcast listeners. I'm thoroughly convinced that half the podcast listeners are either driving their cars or running right now. So
that's true.
Yeah, if you're driving, make sure you're looking, because I just watched some of Ray's videos and I love them. I think they're called baseline drives. And then if you're running, run faster is what I'm telling you. So I'm happy to introduce, help me out here, Ray Locar, right?
Correct, sir.
I got it. So Ray, the way I start these is I kind of throw the ball back into your court and have you tell us a little bit of your journey, because I saw your resume and holy cow, you have done a lot of things in and out of basketball. But just kind of give us a summary of your journey through this whole kind of adventure.
Yeah, it's funny. I have three older kids and a son that's a freshman in high school. I was just talking to him the other day about, you know, kind of my life and how it's taken me through sports. And I realized early on that's where I wanted to be. Even in high school and junior high, I was the commissioner of athletics. So I knew that I wanted a job in sports somehow. Went through the route like everybody else, played, and started to play in college, and my old athletic director from high school got me a coaching job at a little middle school close by, teaching afternoon PE while I was still in college. So I hung up the sneakers and, you know, started coaching right away. And been in a long, long time, and it took me a lot of different places, and just kind of evolved and went from one place to the other. A lot of times, you know, Steve, I think like most coaches, predicated on what was best for the family at that particular time, you know? So, you know, kids come along and you drop down. You know, when my oldest son got to high school, I decided it was time to leave the college level and come back to high school. So I started doing that. then it took me to a couple of high school jobs and ended up back at my alma mater, where we won a section title down here in California, which is kind of a big deal. I was invited to a thing called the Mentor Coach Institute, that was put on by Positive Coaching Alliance. And I think I spoke up too much. And about 3 weeks later, I was at a quarterly meeting and have been speaking full time for them, for the last 11 or 12 years. So
tell us a little bit more about
a chance to go all over the place.
Tell us a little bit more about that. Cause you know, again, half the people I have on here is total cold calls. It's Twitter, it's Instagram. I just reach out to people. Sure. And that's what I love about this game. People are so welcoming. But where you kind of stepped out, and where I kind of saw you in the social world or the basketball world, was the sports positive thing, and it seems to have really taken off in the last, I don't know, year and a half. Could you tell us a little bit more about that? Because I'm very intrigued.
Yeah, it really, really has. I mean, we started they started in 1998 as a little nonprofit out of Stanford's athletic department and a little itty bitty office in the secondary gym, and has kind of grew to a national nonprofit with 20 chapters or regions that we service, with you know, board members and national advisory board members. And we, you know, put on 1,500, 2,000 workshops nationwide a year for coaches and parents and athletes and administrators, really on how to get the best out of sports for their kid on and off the court or fields or out of the pool. It's non-sport specific. And, you know, we really, really have benefited from some coaches that are most recently become really prominent just for focusing on the process instead of the result. And that's a large focus of what we talk about that I think it's lost on parents at such a young age. They worry so much about, you know, the final result, whether a kid won or lost, or what select team they're on, or, you know, how they compare to somebody else. And really, we want kids to focus on, you know, giving their best effort, trying to do what they've learned, and being able to manage mistakes. You know, if they can do that, they're going to be as good as they probably should be. So that kind of intrigued me early, and I was still kind of in the coaching world. started to speak and promote our program at Positive Coaching Alliance from there. And it's just become a situation where, you know, I'm doing so many of them across the country. I do them to 13, 14 different states, working with, you know, all of those different groups and trying to put them all on the same page and make a little difference one organization, one school at a time, I think.
And is there any specific, like, national basketball organization here? Are you connected with USA Basketball? Are you connected with any?
Yeah. Actually, you know, we have a tremendous amount of support from a lot of governing bodies. The NBA, Junior NBA, AAU, USA Basketball all support what it is that we do. But it's not, like I said, it's not sports specific. USA right. Baseball, Major League right. Baseball, RBI programs, you know, local teams, local pro teams in each of our regions are really big supporters. And our national advisory board includes, you know, coaches like Phil Jackson's our national spokesperson, Steve Kerr, Doc Rivers, Larry Brown, Dean Smith in his passing was one of our earliest advisory board members, Brad Stevens. So, you know, kind of what we go out and share are stories and from them and then research from, you know, a lot of sports psychologists and researchers from around the world, really, on what works best. So it's really not opinionated solely. A lot of it is research-based, you know, on how kids really perform the best.
And what one bit of, I mean, I don't want to get your whole spiel, but what's one bit of advice you could give parents that are listening to this? I know what I would
yeah,
say,
I think,
but go ahead.
I think one of the things we talked about is you know, already is the focus on the mastery of the sport instead of the scoreboard and the result, you know, focus on your kids' improvement and the effort that they're given and, being able to, you know, bounce back from setbacks and failures. And that way they're going to progress through the system as they should, best. And the way that you communicate them with them, is huge too. You know, one of the big things that we talk about, one of our national advisory board members, Carol Dweck, wrote a book called Mindset that talks about how you should praise your kid, really.
Right.
And it helps them develop a growth mindset instead of a fixed mindset.
Great. Right. I love them. That. I love that too.
Yeah. Yeah. When you praise them for how talented they are, they think they're achieving because they're talented. And then when they struggle, they think, well, I'm just not that talented. Right. And they kind of level off. But if they get praised for their effort, then when they struggle, they just think, well, I got to try harder and put in more work. And that's really what we want to develop is that, you know, that mindset. And you do that through, you know, this ratio of what we try to create is five times as many positive memories to criticisms and corrections.
Yes. And that's really hard. And that's really hard. That as a teacher and a coach, that is, I mean, I try to do even more than five because I know if I try to get 7 to 10, I know I'm going to get five. It's
for sure.
It's, you know, it's just so hard. I mean, I notice it in my classroom every day. It's just, I'm always correcting. I'm always correct. It's like, well, no, that was good.
Well, 'cause that's in our job description, right? We've got to correct mistakes and we got to make things better. And And so I think the key point there is that, you know, during the other times, we got to go out of our way to catch them doing something good and try to create as many positive memories as possible. And it's not just the coach that's involved in those memories, right? I mean, it's the administrators, it's the school, it's the league organizers, it's teammates, and it's the parents. You know, coaches and teammates could have a great culture, and a 5-minute ride home with the wrong mom and dad is going to send that ratio into the toilet.
Amen. What about specialization? Do you talk about that?
We encourage multiple sport specialization. I get on my, you know, individual soapbox during most workshops about that, because so much research now is going out there on, you know, how many opportunities there are for multiple sport kids and how coaches really like that, as opposed to the single sport kid, and the benefits of multi-sport specialization and the downfalls of, you know, single sport specialization too early in terms of burnout, not only physically, but mentally.
Well, I think that's a huge thing. I think burnout's a huge thing. And kids, I mean, I don't think until you get to 13 or 14, you really know what you want to do anyway. And your body hasn't stopped changing. And I mean, all the studies show that, that you're using different things when you swim than when you throw a baseball, than when you run a 400 or 440. I mean, all those things are using different, you're basically cross training is what I tell all of our parents. It's like, they should play as many sports as they can. They're all helping the other sports. They really are.
You know, and the other thing, Steve, I think that people get lost on is, I think one of the hardest things to get young kids to do is to really compete.
Right.
And, you know, when you're training during the off season, you're not really competing for a purpose. You might think you're training hard and you're competing against yourself, but you're not representing a school, and you're not, you know, really, you know, playing for a reason that matters to a bunch of other people. We won our section title. I think on my basketball team, I had a left tackle that ended up going to Kansas, another left tackle that went to San Diego State, a linebacker at UCLA, a shortstop at San Jose State, and a bunch of D3 players, and one D1 kid that was mid-major, you know? Right. And we were pretty darn good, but those kids were competitors, you know, because they spent their offseason, you know, playing for a reason. I'd rather them do that than, you know, really, you know, dribbling through cones or, you know, being on the gun. Although that stuff is great and they need to keep their skill work up, but they need to compete and play, you know, play hard for a purpose. So
I always tell my youth coaches, I want a competitor. I want a kid that I can't sit down and play a game of Monopoly with, because we won't be talking at the end of the night. Because that's, I mean, if you compete, my family, by the time I was like 10 or 11, I had an older brother. We couldn't play board games. Because all four of us were so competitive, we couldn't play board games. No one would talk to anyone for like 24 hours, because it was just like it was like a death match kind of thing. And that's all. I mean, you just want the competitive part, you know. Obviously, as we grew older, we adjusted to that. But and that's what you get by playing different sports. I think. I don't know if there's been research on this, but you know, obviously, there's the exceptions to the rule, like the LeBron Jameses of the world that are just not normal. He's not a normal human being. He's 1 in 7 billion. That it's sometimes good to play other sports in the sense that maybe you're not the guy or the gal. Part of it is accepting roles. Part of it is accepting, hey, I'm not the best baseball player. I might be the best basketball player in my middle school, but now all of a sudden I'm the 4th best baseball player. I have to accept a different role. How do I fit into the team? All that stuff is life lessons that that's one of the reasons I coach, is because of those life lessons, I think.
Yeah. And really, you know, our whole philosophy at Positive Coaching Alliance is creating a mental model for coaches. We call them double goal coaches. You know, the most obvious goal is to go out and strive to win and prepare your team to do so. But the more important goal is the life lessons the kids are going to learn along the way. They're going to, you know, benefit them for a lifetime, right? So that double goal coach model is really kind of the basis behind what we talk about. And, you know, we mentioned the parents. What we try to get, you know, the culture to understand is that if the coach's job is to strive to win as the first goal, and the second and more important goal is to teach life lessons, we want parents to look at themselves as second goal parents. Right, where the life, helping their kids absorb the life lessons that the coach is trying to teach, is their most important role. right? Not to worry about the wins and losses and how the coach is trying to do that, right? But how we're going to teach commitment, work ethic, and attitude, and sportsmanship, and grit, and accountability, and all that stuff. That should be the parent's job.
Right.
You know, to support the coach in teaching those. Because if I'm a coach and I'm trying to, you know, teach a lesson of commitment and work ethic and maybe sit a kid or not start him or change his role because it's lacking, and the parent is bad-mouthing me or talking at the dinner table or calling the administrators, that lesson gets lost.
Right.
So you need the parent support in order for the kid to develop those things to the best extent possible.
And I think you do a great job of that. From the research I've done is part of a lot of it, of at least I found from someone that's coached a really long time, a lot of it is communication. You know, yep. The parents in my program know that the kids are supposed to be, I mean, I think being on time is an important thing. Not being late. It's called Lambo time. You're 15 minutes early. You're not 15. You don't show up right at, you know, 11 o'clock. You show up at 10:45. You're always. So I talk to my parents about, hey, I'm trying to teach them lessons that when they get a job, that this is going to help them. And I, you know, I always talk about it in terms of a triangle too. You know, it's the coach, it's the player, and it's the parent. And when that triangle is in a perfect world, oh, we're good, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Sports is great then, right?
Right. Yeah. when it gets out of balance. Yes, it is.
You know, the funny thing that you mentioned too, Steve, you were talking about board games with your kids or with your brothers and sisters and you know, how competitive they would be. I think that there's a hidden lesson there too for kids and parents and teams and schools is that, you know, a lot of times you demonize your opponent. You know, you think you got to hate them in order to get up for the game, or you create this animosity. And when you think back to our brothers and sisters and our friends, we probably played harder against them than we did against people that we didn't know. So I would argue the reverse, that maybe if you love and respect your opponent, it will actually cause a more competitive environment, and you're going to play even harder in trying to, you know, do well and win than you would if you, you know, tried to drum up some phony hatred for your rival, you know, to get up for the game. I always think that that's funny when I think back to my youth. You know, I would be like you. I'd always play harder against people that I knew or loved, and would end up playing poorly against teams that I hated because, you know, sometimes you try too hard. In sports, a lot of times you got to try easy.
I mean, I'm going to literally pause. That's profound. I have never heard that, and that is so true in society. And yeah, I mean, it's true for me. If I could look in a mirror right now, it's like, I know. I mean, there's rivals in our league. It's like you try to demonize them, and you shouldn't, to be honest with you. I think you're right. I think back some of the rivalries my boys have had. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I went to Bishop Amat High School in Southern California, and we ran Sports Illustrated back when I went to school with St. Paul High School as, you know, one of the top 10 rivalries in the country, which really meant, you know, the bottom 10 worst rivalries, right? Because there was that hatred, and it was terrible. And I think back to, you know, how awful it was, and we'd be on the news regularly now if that was the case. People would be cell phone videoing, you know, the confrontations that we had. You know, but I think we got to understand that that's a little different now. You know, people in society are starting to understand that the whole Friday night tykes, you know, culture is not one where we should go.
No. And yeah. And the thing is, we live in a world that it's feeding the other. It's putting 12-year-olds playing Little League baseball on ESPN. It's playing the National High School Championship game on ESPN3. We're going, media is trying to push us the other way. So we have to fight back against it.
Yeah, that's the great point, right? I mean, it's a great opportunity for those kids to get a chance to do things and to be on TV, and it's awesome. And I've been at our Little League Western Regionals out here in California. It's very close to where we live. So I've only missed two or three of those, you know, tournaments since 1992. And a couple of things that interest me all the time, Steve, just about athletes at that age, is that those kids that are there are always great kids, and they're really polite and respectful. And to be honest, a lot of fan bases are really, really good.
Right.
Once you get there.
Right.
And it makes me think of, you know, the different options. Does that league not have any parents that are crazy or kids that are bad? Probably not. Or do they just not pick those kids? Well, you know, they usually pick the best kids for All-Stars, so that's probably not the case either. And I think the real answer is that, you know, kids that don't have that kind of character and parents that don't support them in the proper way just don't win enough to get there.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you're right. I would have, yeah. I never thought of it from that angle.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an interesting, yeah, because you see that in you know, we just live in a society right now where everything is, like you said, cell phones, Snapchat, quick satisfaction, and then and to build a team and build that positive feeling takes time. Like I tell the boys, anything that's worth anything in life takes hard work and takes time
for sure.
Most of the time.
Yep.
You know, the lottery ticket thing is the exception to the rule.
yeah,
isn't it? So you go all up and down California.
Yeah.
You're based
we started at Stanford. I'm in Southern California, just east of Los Angeles.
Okay.
Our Los Angeles region handles like from Santa Barbara to San Diego, so like 120-mile radius.
Okay.
But I travel. I'm going to Montana in 2 days to talk to a USA Baseball group for Major League Baseball.
Wow.
And part of our RBI partnership there. So yeah, we have chapters in Tampa and New York and Boston, and you know, we're all over the place, and it's growing, and I think people are starting to understand the movement. You know, besides all of those supporters, we got support from Fox Sports. Their charitable arm is called Fox Sports, and they gave us a Super Bowl ad. I mean, at halftime, it went Lady Gaga, Disney World, and then Positive Coaching Alliance. So that just helps the visibility. And I think that PCA is going to start to become, you know, the brand that is an acronym, just like, you know, MLB, NBA, Junior NBA, or, you know, Little League Baseball. I think that, you know, we're starting to make those inroads where, you know, people are going to recognize that this is just how coaches need to be trained.
And how are you connected with state associations?
In some states, states require our training. We've had support from, you know, Arizona, different coaching organizations. Down here in Southern California, our local CIF LA section is starting to use us.
Hey, Coach, hope you're enjoying the podcast. A couple of things that doesn't cost you a cent to do. You can subscribe and like, leave a written review. We really like that. You can go over to our YouTube channel. Just type in T-Tubes on YouTube and you'll find our YouTube channel. Subscribe, like there, so you'll always get the updates. Next thing is if you do any shopping on Amazon, go down below, click our Amazon link, www.ttubes.com/Amazon. Anytime you're doing shopping on Amazon, we get a small little commission. Helps us with our hosting fees. Be surprised how expensive it is to run one of these. And if you really love this stuff, you know, let me help you. Let me mentor you. Let me email. Let me get on one-on-one calls. Let me show you all the resources that will help me become one of the winningest coaches in the state of Wisconsin. You know, that's why I'm doing this. I want to help coaches become better. So ttubes.com can do that. All right, let's head off to the podcast.
In place, we have a partnership with Hillsborough County in Tampa. They have, it's the largest high school district, 36 high schools or something in Tampa, and we train every coach in every sport year round for the last 5 or 6 years. And they don't get paid unless they come to the to our training. So,
and is it an online training? Is it a
well, we do have, yeah, we do have an online option, you know, so that you get the content, but what we do best is deliver online or live workshops. For you know, groups and schools and organizations to each of those different constituents, right? We'll do league leaders and administrators, coaches, parents, and athletes. And there's a separate training or workshop designed for those groups specifically, but all with the intent of using the same terminology and getting everybody kind of on the same page so that we all have the same goals and, you know, trying to achieve the same things and treating kids the same way.
Right. So, I mean, I think that's probably that at some point a huge inroad into, you know, I know California is not normal in the sense that you have so many different, I mean, It's crazy. But anyway, like Wisconsin has one state association. They run everything. You know, Iowa has one, you know, all that kind of stuff. In the sense that I think that from a high school coaching standpoint, that would be an awesome. I mean, we already do like a pretest. We watch a video. We do all that kind of stuff. But to do some sort of training like that preseason.
Yeah, and you know, as much as we can, those those trainings and those workshops are interactive, and we get the coaches involved to where they're experiencing the learning together a little bit, and it's kind of neat to get coaches from different schools and different districts together to have conversations because we're all kind of facing the same problems. So yeah, it's a really valuable opportunity for state organizations or individual leagues or even school districts. You know, out here in California in our area, we have a number of local school districts that have adopted us for all of their high schools in the district, which is kind of been something that's growing. That's kind of the direction that we're headed.
Yeah, and the school districts are so big that it encompasses so many kids that it doesn't. Yeah.
Yep.
So explain to me where this started with Stanford. Did it start with a professor? Did it start?
Yeah. So Jim Thompson, our founder and executive director, he was a little league coach of his son's team, and he was a walk-on girls coach at Fremont High School up in the Bay Area at the same time as he was in charge of the global business program or something at Stanford. And all of those things kind of collided, and just had the opportunity to start this nonprofit with the support of Stanford's athletic department. That's kind of where it was spawned. And obviously it's grown out of that little itty bitty office to a larger office in Mountain View. But it's grown nationwide since then, so that we have, executive directors and, a number of different chapters and board members and, people that do the outreach, and then about 150 speakers or trainers like myself that speak all over the country to each of those different groups. The website's positivecoach.org, so it's easy to find.
I'm gonna give at the end. We'll get all your contact stuff, and I'll put it in the show notes. So all the people that are listening, don't stop your car. Don't grab a pencil. We'll take care of it in the show notes. You get home, you can look it up. So where do you, what would be your ideal, like 5-10 year thing? Where do you see this going?
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's probably, room for another half a dozen different chapters in some major cities and major organizations or major areas, in the country. And, we want to reach as many people as we possibly can. And we'd really like some of those terms that we use. Words are so powerful. They create this mental model in people's minds on how they're supposed to act and behave and, what they're supposed to stress. And I think, things like the double goal coach, that should just be standard. People, coaches should understand that, no, there's two things I'm trying to do. I'm not just trying to win. I'm trying to teach life lessons. And if I'm a parent, a second goal parent, I'm working on those life lessons. And we want our athletes to be what we call triple impact competitors. We think there's three ways that you can impact sports. You can either work really hard to make yourself better. You can be a great teammate, make your teammates better, or you can play in a game that just makes the game, the sport, the organization better. Those are the three ways that kids can really, make an impact on what it is that they're doing. And some kids do one of those better than the other, but we want them to strive to do each one of them as much as they possibly can. So
terminology
with those
is key.
Kind of things in mind. Yeah. Isn't it just like in sports, right?
It's so important. We use a lot of PGC terms. So we talk about breaking a window. So when I yell that to my boys, they know what it means. They mean you're going to pass over the ears. Little. You're going to pass over the hips. They kind of know what I'm talking about. So that would, for your organization, you got to think that's one of your goals. It's like if we can get everybody on that same page, we've been successful.
Yeah, totally. We talk about the Elm Tree of Mastery, right? ELM is the acronym we want, right? We want kids to give their best effort, to learn and to worry about mistake management, right? Effort, learning, and mistake management. And you do those three things, over and over again, you're going to be pretty good and win the games you should. So, between that and the 5-to-1 magic ratio, and then, we talk about respecting the sport and honoring the game. We use the acronym ROOTS for the five things that you should respect about sports. You should respect the rules, your opponents, the officials, your teammates, and yourself. you know, and if you do all those like things, that kind of becomes a guideline for life a little bit, you know, roots.
Right.
Those are things that you can use outside the lines too, right? Outside the lines, rules or laws, and you got to respect the people that enforce them, and you got to respect others and family, friends, coworkers. And it just kind of, you know, sports is just a laboratory for life, right?
It is. It is. I mean, it's the reason it's the reason I started it. It's the reason a lot of people I've talked to on this have started it. It's a mission. It is, actually. That's what people don't understand. It's sure, it's about wins, and we all want to win, and we all want to do that, but there's so many bigger lessons that can be taught.
For sure.
And the thing is, I'm a math teacher by profession, so the voice I use between the lines resonates sometimes better than the one when I open my door and walk in. It's crazy.
Sure. Yeah. No, that's true. That's true. You know, Mandela was giving away a sports award one time, and he says, sports speaks to our youth in a language they understand.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
And us as adults
there and talk about people. Yeah, right. If the adults don't screw it up, right?
Yeah.
But you can talk to those kids till you're blue in the face, and they're not going to remember everything, but throw them a ball and keep score.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. And they'll remember everything. That's a great idea. Yeah. Maybe I'll just teach them all the math and we'll go play basketball at the same time. We'll do something like that.
Right. Right.
All right. Are there any other
things? The whole grit and resilience thing is huge too, right? Being able to deal with failure. I think that's one of the biggest things that kids, you know, can't handle these days is how to deal with setbacks. When I watch, you know, like I used to watch American Idol when it was on. Right.
Yep.
And somebody would get, you know, somebody would lose or not make it to Hollywood, and they'd cry and throw a tantrum. And I always turn to my wife and say, you know, that person never played sports. Right. They don't know what it's like to lose. So, when my daughter graduated from college, she got her doctorate. She's Dr. Thomas now. She's not Dr. Lokar. She got married.
And married.
Dang it. I don't even get that anymore. Yeah. So she's Dr. She's Dr. Thomas, but when she graduated, I told her, hey, honey, I'm proud of you. And you know, how did you do that? I mean, you're my kid. How did you make it through that program? And she said, Daddy, I never would have made it if it wasn't for shooting slumps and losing streaks.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
The tough stuff is the tough stuff that we try to protect kids from is really, that's really the things that make them into great people that are going to, you know, be able to overcome things forever.
We want them to fall down
from things.
Yeah, we want them to fall down and scab their knee, and then we want to pick them back. That's the analogy I always use. I want to pick them back up. I want to clean it off. I want to give them a hug and a kiss, and then send them back outside to play. And that's we lose that.
Yeah.
We do it when they're four, but when they're 12, we stop doing it. It's crazy, you know?
Right? We try to put them all on the same team so that they win every game, and you know, then when we move when they're not playing and they're not struggling, we move them to a different team, and we hide them from stuff like that, and they need to get over it a little bit and struggle, embrace the struggle.
Right? And I've noticed as I coach volleyball too. I've noticed that kids aren't even willing to try anymore. Like, if I'm not going to play and I'm not going to be the star and I'm not going to be this, I'm going to go do something else. It's not, they're not even willing to be a member of the team, which is, I think, such a lost. It's a lost thing in our society, I think.
Yeah, no, for sure. Absolutely.
Okay, so do you have anything else you'd like to talk about with that?
No, I think that's great. The other thing, though, the one thing that you touched on is the multi-sport thing, and I want people to try to pitch in on this one too, and you know, let's try to really work on that one. I'm really, really working hard on trying to find a model where instead of creating all of these different travel clubs and AAU clubs, you create a multi-sport club that really caters to those families and those kids that want to play. So that you're not fighting over, you know, athletes and telling them they have to be at the baseball tournament instead of the basketball tournament. You know, you're going to work with them and have some sort of periodization of training that's appropriate for each of those sports. Because right now in travel sports, you don't really do that. They just play three different seasons.
Right.
They just play a bunch of games. So that's really been on my mind lately. Is
that's a
come
great.
Up with some
I think you might.
Model.
I think you have something there. I have never.
Yeah.
It's a set. You're my second. You're my second one tonight. And guys, I've had some aha moments. It's like you almost need to say, okay, I'm going to take these 12 kids, and we're just going to play sports together. And some of kids are going to be better at some things. We're going to play baseball, and then we're going to go to do soccer, and we're going to work on, can you know, dynamic warm-ups, and we're going to do this, and then we're going to have a pizza party, and we're going to – I mean, that's right. What we need more than I'm going to be on this 12-year-old, you know, AAU team, and we're going to travel to Dallas, Texas every weekend and blah, 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 yeah. You know.
And I think it speaks to the point that you said earlier where, you know, your best basketball kid might not be your best baseball kid, and so he's going to have to figure out, right. You know, how to fit into, you know, some sort of a role where he's a supporting cast guy instead of the lead actor. So, so that's something that I've really been bouncing around, and I just want to try to figure out a way where I can do that and still help the local rec league instead of taking kids from them. Right. Every time an AAU club or a travel team pops up, they steal kids from the leagues that are really made for everybody else. And now those leagues are not viable and they're shutting down.
Right.
So that's really what I'm struggling with.
And I think it's going to hurt Little League. I think it's going to hurt some of those things after, you
completely.
Know, I do over the long haul. That's a great.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
If you solve that one, let me know. Cause that's a
you
great,
got it.
Yeah. That's a great thing. All right. So I'm going to do, I always end with rapid fire. So I'm going to ask you a question.
Good. Go for it.
And just a quick answer. This is going to be a little bit more basketball related rather than just generic, but you've coached enough basketball. Holy cow. All right. Number one, what's your favorite basketball?
I like the Wilson Jet wide seams.
Ooh, I like it. All right. One word to describe your ideal player.
Tough.
Okay. One sporting event. If you could go to one sporting event only, what would it be and why?
The Final Four, because of all of the people that are there and just the hoopla and the chance to see, old friends.
Yeah. I've been to one. It's awesome. Your favorite pregame meal.
You said one word answer. I'm going to say steak.
Okay.
And can I break out of rapid fire for a second?
Yep.
We had a great trainer. I was at Pomona Pitzer College for a number of years. Our trainer was Kirk Jones, and he always used to say that, you know, we always try to eat differently before a game, and sometimes that messes with our system more than it helps us. So we should eat the way that we normally eat. So that, and you can't overdo it and all of that stuff. But I thought that was interesting. And I remember in high school we used to get steak dinners. So I would eat steak, even though it's probably not appropriate. Probably. You're supposed to have carbs.
Yeah, right? You're supposed to. And actually, it's more than the night before doesn't do enough. It's almost got to be 48 hours. So,
right.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy. What's one thing you do to relax?
I like to sit and watch the ocean. Southern California is beautiful, Steve.
It is. I'm actually going to California. Leaving Saturday, going to visit friend who works at Apple up. So we're going up to the San Francisco, San Jose. He lives in San Jose. So yeah, I've been before. I'm taking my son, who's a freshman, and my wife.
There you go.
It will be fun. Yeah, we're gonna do the touristy stuff. You know, you do in San Francisco. Best basketball player you've seen in person.
I mean, I saw Jordan in person, so I'd have to say that. But in high school, Stephon Marbury was amazing.
Oh, really?
I saw that one up close and personal from the second row in a tournament out here in California, and he was phenomenal in high school.
Yes, I saw Tyus Jones in high school. He was crazy good. Played just like he did for Duke. Best player of all time?
MJ.
Okay. Yeah. It's hard to go across to generations. Argue. Yes. One thing that helped you become a better coach?
Coach Wooden.
Why?
You know, I grew up in LA and grew up a UCLA fan from the time I realized I wanted to be a coach. Studied him closely. I tell you, here's a great article I think everybody should go back and read. It was a 1975 research by two educational psychologist named Tharp and Gallimore, and it's titled "What a Coach Can Teach a Teacher." And these two guys followed Coach Wooden for a year and charted all sorts of acts of coaching. and put it in a percentage. And so early on, I tried to, you know, I taped myself one day, you know, an audio tape way back then.
Right.
And realized how far off I was in, you know, scolding and instructing and the information. And I was fortunate enough to coach a couple of coaches last basketball camps before he retired. And then one when he came out of retirement when he was in his 80s, his very last camp in the early 90s, which was great. But he was a big influence on my life for sure.
Best game you've seen in person?
Wow. Yeah, coached in a lot of them that nobody would know about.
Yeah, you know what? I just had somebody just say the exact same thing. I would pick a game I coached in too. I think that's gonna be a common answer, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Where am I on my list here? One word to describe your coaching style.
Caring.
Ooh, I like that. Yep.
I think that's the biggest thing, Steve.
Loving. You know, I put loving because I love my guys. Cried in my
banquet
this
year. That's
awesome.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one of those baseline drives that you talked about, you know, about caring, care, think, and try. And, you know, those are the three things I think you got to do. You got to care, think, and try. But love is really caring to the greatest extent possible.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Because I had a coach this year. I started five seniors. First time in 30 years I've started five seniors. And it's crazy. You never do that. It doesn't seem like. And I'd moved like three or four of them up when they were freshmen. And it was just, they knew I would run through a wall for them and they would run through a wall for me. And we had had ups and we had had downs and we had cried and we had yelled. And it's like, that's what love is. You know, it's like,
that's
you still
awesome.
Get teary eyed thinking about them. But all right. One book you'd recommend someone read.
Mindset by Carol Dweck.
I agree. I mean, it's hard to have a growth mindset, and maybe it's because I'm old. I fight it every day.
It changed the way I parented, Steve. You know, I mean, my three older ones, I didn't lavish praise on them, but this research happened, you know, when my youngest son was 2, 3, 4. And now every time he does something, I try to think of a way I can relate it back to some work that he did. Right.
Right.
You got an A on that math test because you did your homework, Tyler. Right.
Right.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah. It's the payoff. What I will do, and I found it easiest, is I will, I'll get your contact information. I'll put it in the show notes. So if people want to get a hold of you,
got it.
Your webpage, all that kind of stuff. And I really appreciate you being on here. You're making a difference in the world.
Opportunity.
You know what I mean? I'm telling you, we all try to make a difference, but what you guys are doing is, and that's why that's part of the reason I teach, it's part of the reason I coach is, you know, it's the meaning of life, in my opinion. I want to leave the world a little bit better place. And I think you guys are really doing that. So I really appreciate you being on.
Appreciate that, Steve. That's an awesome way to put it. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And if we all look at things that way, the world's going to be a little better place. Appreciate the opportunity to be on.
Thank you. Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Steve. Talk to you soon.
Hey, everybody. I hope you really enjoyed today's podcast. If you did, I'm going to cross my fingers. I'm going to please go subscribe and like, leave a review for me, you know, leave some comments there. Hopefully they're 5 stars, but leave some comments. It helps us, bring more of these to you. So if we can move up the podcast chain, I'd really appreciate it. I'm going to also invite you to go over and check out membership site at teachhoops.com. You know, I think it's the essential resource for any coach coming, whether you're an experienced coach, whether you're a coach that's won state titles, whether you're just starting out and coaching your fifth grade daughter. It doesn't matter. It's got a coaching level for you. You know, we have an extensive online video library. We have bi-monthly office hours, which helps us build our community. We have an exclusive, both on our website and in Facebook, a social community where we can interact, and you get one-on-one mentoring from me. You'll get my personal email address. I'm willing to talk to coaches all the time. Those are the ones I respond to very quickly, the ones that are members of teachhoops.com. It's a place for coaches to learn the game, to hone their craft is what I referred to.
Hey, Coach, hope you enjoyed that. If you did, okay, go join teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.